What food, when you think of, brings you joy? What kind of food that when you think of, it brings you joy?
And I would say that there's always ice cream in my freezer. Always. And it always, and I always touch it, always, every day.
Yeah, I can't keep any ice cream in my house anymore. Because the day I buy it is usually the day I throw it away. You know, because it's gone.
Oh, it's gone. The box.
Yeah. Saying no to ice cream once I start yeah. is not a thing I can do. I understand. They do, but
they
the
do.
Price keeps...
They do.
for a higher price. Hey, everybody. Wanted to welcome you to a new podcast, Project Good Food. This podcast is about liberation. Liberation through food access, food sovereignty, and the relationship that we have with the environment. Hey, and welcome back to the latest episode of Project Good Food, brought to you by Project New Village, Miss Diane Moss, Mr. Jason Cardenas, and of course you have me, Anthony Avalos. Today we're going to be joined by Miss Leticia Ibarra Hernandez, Mr. Alfredo Ibarra, and Mr. Roberto Pozos. Miss Moss, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, right up our lane, we're going to talk about food justice today. Food justice is a movement where we can have access to, universal access to healthy, nutritious, culturally responsible or culturally relevant food. And to that end, this doesn't happen by itself. In these communities where we're talking about food justice, like ours in southeastern San Diego, there are a lot of times when there's been disinvestment or no investment. And in order to move the needle, center to moving the needle and getting anywhere close to food justice is activism at the center of things. People taking it upon themselves to move the social justice needle. And to that end, today we get to talk to a person that was on our board of directors who epitomized activism, and that was Daniel Hernandez.
Daniel Hernandez was born September 30th, 1956. He came to San Diego from Imperial Valley in 1977, and he's been rocking and rolling, changing lives ever since. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Grab your popcorn. Let's get to it. And as per usual, we have to start out this podcast with appropriate introductions. My name is Anthony Avalos. I am one of the hosts for the Project New Village podcast. And I'd like to introduce my co-host, Miss Diane Moss.
Hello.
There she was. Now we have three special guests, and I have to tell you, today's podcast is going to be historic. We're talking about a mover and shaker. We're talking about somebody who is known for his advocacy, called by many a beloved community warrior, and he deserves all the praise that we can possibly present to him, all the honor that we can give him. His name is Ray Daniel Hernandez. Although if you actually knew him, you probably never would have heard the first part of his name. Before we get into that, I would love to introduce three individuals who we are very excited to have on this podcast because they represent Danny Hernandez in today's work. So please, I would like all three of you to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Leticia Ibarra Hernandez. I was Daniel's wife and partner for the last part of his life, I guess.
Welcome.
Yeah. Yes, hello. My name is Alfredo Ibarra. I am a friend and a business partner of Danny over the last 15 years, and I'm also on the Project New Village board.
Hi, my name is Roberto Pozos, lifelong friend of Daniel Hernandez for over 40 years, professional associate. We were roommates, activists, marketing people, just worked wonderfully together. Also, we call each other brothers, best friends. And we shared so many parts of his life that as he supports many organizations and individuals, I was part of all that as a witness to it, which led to many of what's happening today, which is being here, for example, talking about his legacy, still very much in our hearts. So I call myself his carnal, his brother, and happy to be here.
You know, it's very interesting. As I've been learning more and more about Danny Hernandez since he passed, one of the things that has stuck out to me is the vast array of people and organizations that he was able to positively impact. He was on the board of many organizations. One of those organizations was Project New Village. And in memoriam, I would like to read what Project New Village has to say about Daniel Hernandez on our website. And Danny Hernandez, born September 30th, 1956, laid to rest April 7th, 2023, was the director of community relations for San Ysidro Health. He possessed almost 45 years of extensive experience in developing a wide variety of outreach, community awareness, and promotional programs for the corporate and nonprofit sector. His abilities and proficiencies included grassroots outreach, issue advocacy, political strategy, and of course, fundraising. That fundraising led to economic and community development, public relations, marketing, and advertising, media relations, and special event management. I'd like to ask you, Ms. Moss, do you think that there's anything that's missing from that list of things? And what stands out to you the most about Danny Hernandez, the board member for Project New Village?
So I don't think it's an inclusive list, and I'm sure there are things that I wouldn't have been able to identify that he personified. But I do know that he was a great human being. He was a catalyst for change. I had to work a long time to get him on the board. It didn't just happen. I had to pursue him. He was on other boards. He had to make time for us. And we were really, really happy when he did, because he made a change in the way that we do business and the way that we do fundraising within our organization. He's a good guy.
I would like to go around and ask each of you how it was that you were introduced to Mr. Danny Hernandez. Ms. Moss, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to your right.
So I've been a community organizer, I guess, since I've been here in San Diego. I got here from Los Angeles in the 70s. I don't know the year that we met, and I met him far before when he came to be on the board at Project New Village. I think when we met, he was working for a television station doing some kind of media relations or community relations. I know he worked before he was at San Ysidro, other health systems, where, again, he was the community relations person because of his skills. So I know he was on the board a number of years. And before that, I knew him even before he got on the board. So long time. Mm-hmm. Not as long as you are, but a long time.
I met him when I was 12 years old and he was 17. I actually met him through his brother, Francisco. I was a young kid in the neighborhood, and Francisco was running a program drawing and silk screening and whatnot. And since I like to draw, Francisco would ask me to draw things. So eventually he managed to get me paid for some of those drawings. I was turning 13, and I met Danny as one of his visits, and we became friends. And after that, we met again in IVC. We were now friends, and he was in Mecha, and I was a young student also getting into Mecha. And he knew I was an artist then, so then we just associated well. Then he was at San Diego State, and we joined Mechas from both schools. And Danny was again linking and getting people together, and that became our meeting in sorts. But it was through his brother Francisco, who passed away a year before Danny. I'm very connected to both in that sense, because with one I met Danny, and So that is my introduction to Danny.
Yes, hi. Hello. About 15 years ago, I was working for a local jurisdiction. We had a piece of property that we wanted to develop. And so we brought in a group, one of the health clinics, La Maestra Health. And Danny came into the meeting, and we were talking about that particular project. And that's how I met him, just in a meeting, in a sense, trying to get this project together. Mm-hmm. And that's how I met Danny.
I met Danny and, Daniel. You got me saying Danny. I met Daniel in 2010 at a National Council of La Raza conference in Washington, D.C. We were introduced by the CEO of the clinic that I was working at the time, who knew Daniel, and it was in a clinic that's based in Brawley, where Danny is from. And so I think that's one of the ways that they knew each other. And, you know, so, yeah, we met at that conference. We kept in touch. And I actually eventually moved out here to San Diego, and we continue to, you know, just communicate and be involved in some of the same, activities and opportunities here related to, you know, community clinics and different health programs. And then in 2017, that's when we met again at another National Council of La Raza, and that's when the name changed to Unidos U.S. And then that's when the rest is history, and we got together.
So it's very interesting that you bring up Brawley. A lot of folks thought that Danny was from San Diego, but he actually was from Brawley, right? And yes. And if I'm not mistaken, he came out to San Diego in 77. So can you speak to the different iterations or the different versions of Danny's work that you guys have been connected to? I know that here with Project New Village, right, the work that we're doing is touched in or connected to food sovereignty, right? Access to land, placemaking. And so having a champion like Danny that was able to have those difficult conversations in spaces and still be able to make those conversations productive, right? To end those difficult conversations with support. Was that something that he always had? Did he always have that ability to speak the hard truth, but do it in a way that was digestible for people? Mm-hmm. And in which ways did you see that come out of Danny? Oh.
Well, because we were working in community clinics, I mean, I definitely saw it at a lot of the meetings that FQHCs, the Federally Qualified Health Centers, have that were related to, the Medi-Cal, all the expansions and the changes that happen with Medi-Cal enrollment, and how do you get patients to actually enroll? And so I saw it there, where he would always, stand up and he to make sure that the voice of the communities that the different clinics were serving, whether it be Filipino or whether it be a Black community or Latino, immigrant community or Latino middle class community, he was always making sure that if it was a community that was going to be affected, that their voice was heard. He actually I didn't necessarily witness myself, but he worked on a project before for the Department of Transportation, where they were trying to, develop some ways for improving the ways that farm workers get to work, and in order for it to be more efficient and safe. And he actually was able to establish focus groups with the farm workers here, mostly in North County. And he did it not just in English and Spanish, he actually did it in four languages, including, I'm forgetting the name of the other, but there were indigenous languages, since many of the farm workers were also indigenous from Mexico and Central America. But because again, he wanted to make sure that everyone was represented and that whoever was in leadership was not, you know, forgetting the voice of the most vulnerable or the most affected, you know, or who sometimes go unheard. And so he definitely made a point of either speaking for them or making sure that they spoke for themselves at the table. Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, I met Daniel in a meeting between the same, I was a public official at the time, and he was representing a health clinic. And what I noticed with Danny is that he could just communicate effectively, only state when he needed to come in to bring people together. And I admired that so much in that I not only noticed it in a meeting room, but I noticed it at every level, including at the staff level, at the executive level, and with politicians. He could just bring everybody together. And so, and there was an element of trust that he showed, and you could tell that he was just a good person. So with that, as a public official, you just kind of say, okay, I get this guy, and I was pulled to him by just his character, his personality, and his willingness to work hard, to come in and bring people together. And he was always a good collaborator, and I really enjoyed working with him.
You know, Danny often talked about foundational principles being respect and trust. Mm-hmm. In what ways did he showcase the examples or principles of respect and trust to you?
By example, mainly. He was exactly that. And he sort of expected everyone else to be in that light as well. So it sort of brought up the conversation and the atmosphere right off the bat with giving you all the intelligence and all the trust and being that way. And that created this dialogue and so many things that he was able to cover, things that were very difficult to cover from many groups. As the initial question of how did he affect, I mean, witnessing him working with the community for many, many years, and how many changes he created by being an employee to a board, to a member, to a founding member of other groups, and all that, and how he worked, for example, for Chicano Federation for so many years, and where they were and where they are now. People like Danny have a big role, like in the House of Mexico, another organization that he helped found. We go into MANA, the National Association, where he is a supporter of anything they do, help them move many times, like they talk about. So when any kind of conflict or difficult subjects come up, he was in his element. He was very good at making it clear based on the needs. So he comes from a farm working family. They worked really hard. Everything he got was really difficult. And he worked hard for everyone, not just for himself, because that's kind of how he was brought up. So he brought that along with him everywhere he was. So his sense of justice, and that's why that word justice is in the mural, of self-determination, because it transcended all these entities where he worked. He just carried this with him. And to say we have an example of a man who, in his heart, lives the self-determination Chicano heart that you know we possess when we're conscious of where we are in time and space in this place. He is an example of that and more, where he's embraced everywhere, you know, as an example of a person. So, I witnessed this many, many times over working with him in my company, Pozos Creative Communications. He was my PR man, and he would get in and we would get projects done. Then he moved into his own agency with Imagery Communication and a couple of other agencies that he had his own PR with Mateo Camarillo. I think he had some other associates. And me as well, we were always teaming up on this, as I was always his art director for these projects. And wherever he would work, whether it was Mesa Distributing or Community Health Group or San Isidro, we would collaborate because I'm an art director and I do graphics. So we would always have this tie. And I would always know what he's doing everywhere he's at. So I have this example of his life of being this way. And it was his character, simple character, was all over the place, and he never changed from one to the other. So it was what you got, and he was that way with everybody. Just very, very high standards on everyone, I believe.
And so when you're looking at those or recognizing the standard in which Daniel Hernandez moved, how did he bring that to the garden space?
So I know he always came there as an advocate for community empowerment or community engagement, and he saw the nexus between community clinics, nutrition, and the garden space. He was always advocating that we could grow things, do an educational campaign that then could be connected to a clinic so that people can get the lessons live, right? It wasn't someone telling you what would be, but in the garden, it would be a real context where you could learn lessons and the benefit of food for your health. And he always thought that we should partner with San Ysidro Health, public health, whomever, but we needed to do the work so that we knew the health benefit. And I guess secondly, he would want the funders to come because this was goodness that they ought to get involved in support. So he would bring others to the garden so they could see what we were doing firsthand, philanthropic kinds of people.
Growing up in San Diego, having the opportunity to grow up in two of the most amazing cultures that America's produced, and that's in Black American culture and Mexican American culture, I recognize the ways in which we complemented each other's cultures, and I recognize the ways in which we were challenged by each other's cultures. One thing that Daniel did was he was a fierce supporter of Project New Village. And what I want to ask is, how did Daniel Hernandez show up to the conversation of intersectionality, right? Of finding ways to support spaces that he may not be an expert in, he may not know entirely the culture in, but recognize the value, right? And said, no, this deserves to be supported regardless of where it is placed. How does that legacy, right, that legacy of interconnectedness, how does that manifest itself in the work that we're going to have to continue doing? And so I know that that's kind of a difficult question to ask, but at the same time, I believe it's very important, right, because we have to figure out ways to effectively manage the challenges of survival, of healing, of all of these things that we are trying to do collectively. So I will loft that question into the air, and anybody who would like to answer it, please.
Because I think, you know, Daniel always wanted to bring people together. And because he was able to recognize and see, you know, from that, he was able to see everyone that needed to be involved in something, you know, like in regardless of, you know, and their ethnic group or because of their ethnicity, you know, he could see, okay, this is going to be impacting this many people or this and these communities. They need to be there at the table. And he would then go to find the right person who could, you know, come bring in that perspective, whether it was a civic leader or an organizational leader or an activist that was, you know, doing some grassroots organizing or a family, you know, like a parent who was involved with their school, with a school. Like he was able to recognize so who needed to be there and, you know, and then he was able to go talk to them and bring them in, you know, so he was able to convince people, you know, and motivate them, you know, to get involved. And I think it had to do with his genuineness, which you kind of mentioned before. He was just a very genuine person, and he was always, you know, doing things for the betterment of the community and for others. And he would use that, you know, as a tool because he knew that many of us, even many other leaders want that.
Yeah. Let me add to that as well, because I feel that he is, again, the example of what happens when you transcend our ethnicity. First, you are conscious of who you are, you become this, and you grow up doing this, but eventually we all understand that we're all in this together. And he, more than anybody, advocated this and openly. What I saw was, as he worked for nonprofits and organizations and dedicated his time to different fundraisers or goals or objectives, he ended up working with the health industry because he felt that that helped everybody. He was at City Heights with La Maestra, and you know City Heights, you're looking at so many languages, so many people, and he loved the festivals. I was there involved with him when they did the kickoff, and they hired us to design the material. Again, working together, the way he conveyed himself and was it was not about anyone, but about every one of us. And when he spoke, one of the things he would always talk about is, if we're going to help an organization or a group, we have to look at the broader spectrum and bring up the communities of color, bring out the Filipino community, bring up every community that exists here. And I believe that is part of what Danny was. So you see that in the community as he reflects color. So as I was working on his mural and painted the section of, how to end this mural, I really felt the colores was appropriate because it really punches and hits you hard on that message that we're all in this together. And that song to me portrays everything can be accomplished through hard work and working together. So he is, to me, that example of not just talking, but walking,
And when you say De Colores, that is the song that you're referring to?
Yes, De Colores, the Colores reflects how the rainbow is around us, listening to the chicks, listening to nature. We're all in this together. De Colores means that there are no barriers of race of any kind. It is just the human spirit. And I always feel that when you become conscious of who you are as a Chicano Mexican American, you eventually become a human being, and everybody is equal at this stage. And I believe that I am, as many of my friends and Danny, are in the raza stage, on the stage of we're all in this together, and we're going to bring everybody up. That's how we're going to do it.
And so I know that you there's still a need to answer the question, but let me ask it in this way, right? This is a more concise way of asking the question. How did Daniel work across cultural, racial, and gender lines?
Well, in my experience with Danny, just to give you an example, about 2012, 2013, he'd come over to the city where I was working at, which is National City at the time. And we had a development, Kimball & Morgan Towers on 12th Avenue, 300 units. And I told him, this property we can't sustain it because it needs to get rehabbed. It needs to get renovated. Otherwise, the elevator's going to start falling down. I told him, my idea is I want to sell it and get a nonprofit. So he was instrumental in working not only with the staff at the city, but the politicians at the city, with the residents. We're a very diverse group of residents from Filipinos, Hispanics, Anglos, Blacks, and he was instrumental in getting their support so we could make this $100 million project go through. That wasn't the only project. Following that, he was working with San Ysidro Health, and they had a PACE center, which right now is down in San Ysidro. And I can't remember what street it's called, but it starts with a B, but I can't remember. But right now, both he and I are gone from the city of National City, but That particular PACE Center is being constructed right next to Kimball and Morgan Tower. It's not done yet, but I understand it's going to be completed very soon. But he was very instrumental in working the politics, the resident support, the development with the developers, because there were partnerships with developers because this was such a huge project. I would say it was probably, I've been gone for a while, so I would say probably a $300 million project in total. So that's how I know that he could work. He worked very well with everybody and for the benefit of everybody.
What's amazing is that I don't know if there's an end to the extent of Mr. Hernandez's work. Can you guys give us just kind of an idea of all the different ways that Daniel Hernandez contributed?
Let me do this because I think it gets to the question. You really need to talk about this project on the mural. All the people who showed up for that, all the effort, all the logos, yeah. All the people. That speaks to your question.
That's
the work.
That is the work. You know, as we were doing the celebration of life shortly after his passing, it was evident that the community was not done. It was the discussions came up there. If you were there, you felt it in the air. It was amazing. And it was not just talk again. It started, you know, taking shape. The committee was formed. We all knew that this was going to be something we were going to work at because it was the community's wishes. And you had a committee that stepped up, Adela Garcia, Barbara Orozco, of course, Leticia, Bar Hernandez, Alfredo. We have Connie Hernandez. If I'm missing anybody, help me out here.
Manuel Ramirez.
Our strong committee really was touched by Danny in many ways through all the years, just like me. And Maria Garcia, for example, when we were kids or younger, we crashed at Maria's house, and Maria's the one that wrote We Made San Diego, and we're both in this book. So we're talking about a committee who felt very strongly that this was something that had to be done, which is to have a mural dedicated to Daniel, to Danny. And I took that very serious in terms of I took it upon myself to really express a life of activism from childhood with his mother, going to the neighborhoods, getting people registered to vote, and, you know, tagging along with the ACC and Brawley, farm working kid, going to the fields and becoming a writer in high school, then becoming a young leader as a machista in San Diego State, Imperial Valley College, following him through his journey with EOP and helping with high school conferences because he would help people get bused, you know, as a student machista leader, get bused. Going over the mural and the elements, I call them elements because they're snippets of visuals that are going to give you a little insight into his life. Not only do you see handshakes and people clapping because of graduating and wonderful activism, but you also see the ocean, and there's a big heart because he had the big heart. In the mural has an important quote that he spoke in one of his speeches about we are all part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. So that's important in the mural as well as the color being very important. So taking this very serious with the committee, working with the committee back and forth, giving them ideas, listening to the ideas back, he really created a design that today, September 27th, last year, we inaugurated it at JJ's restaurant in honor of his birthday. And that was the first time the community saw the sketch that was taken very seriously because we were about to dedicate a lot of time and money into this mural. So I felt that sketch was very important. And that's when everybody started seeing who was in it. They didn't know they were in it. I didn't ask anybody, you want to be in this? I know Danny, you know, and all his bosses are there, the community. I mean, Diane, you're there. I never asked you, I know, but I had to do it. Project New Village is in there, as well as Southwest Voter Registration and Educational Project is in there. This is very early on because he was helping in registering people. Just recently, I just finished doing the logo for Southwest Voter Registration Educational Project, which is a national logo. I know Danny would be very proud of me because that's something that I dedicated to our memory because he introduced me to him, to that group, and Willie Velasquez and the legacy that they have in voter registration. So that was very important in this mural, as well as you'll see some books there that talk about some of the themes that are important for all of us to know about our history, about self-determination. And the inaugural was on May 2, just recently. And the painting and the sketching took a year to complete. And we inaugurated with a cover. We had a whole program. The committee, everyone had something to say, message. We had a beautiful ceremony, beautiful blessing with Bea Zamora and her husband Mario Aguilar with their traditional music, Aztec music and sounds. That was just beautiful. To our fortune and the committee again, like Barbara, working hard to have the MAC project, be the home of this mural. Where it ended up, it was like a glove, a community room that hosts multiple events, free to public, graduations are held there, so many events. Even Anulfo said, all these logos that are here, we all kind of come together. It was sort of weird that it all comes together that way, almost like the space where it fitted also was like, what? It was only like inches off in all directions. I'm getting shivers just thinking about all this, So that this journey of this mural, if you go to R. Daniel Hernandez Life of Activism in YouTube, you will find the video. It's 15 minutes long, and it'll take you from the sketches, the concepts, working with committee, all the way through to hanging it. Alfredo helped hang it as well. So you, not only was this committee active in these meetings, we all work hard to make this happen. So that video will show you that. You also have in the same channel, the life and legacy of Daniel, a life of activism, celebration of life and his activism. It's about 30 minutes long. And that's also in that YouTube channel. You can learn about him and about more on his advocacy. You'll see so many pictures. He's there also talking. It was a very powerful speech he made that We Made San Diego inaugural of their video segments. He gave a powerful speech, and that speech is on that video.
What was the name of the name of YouTube, it is YouTube channel again?
R.R. Pozos, P-O-Z-O-S, Art Journey.
Okay. Wow.
And it could also be found, we actually started a new nonprofit inspired by Daniel's legacy and this mural activism mural project. I mean, we felt that we could have just let it stop. And so we have started, I've actually started it with Roberto, and Alfredo is also a board member. It's a small brand thing, but to hopefully continue Daniel's legacy. And so, our website is IE Activism. It's AYIActivism.org. And the videos will also be able to be there and, so that we can learn about Daniel's story, get inspired, and do something, to help the community, create the change. I think one thing I wanted to mention is that in terms of Daniel's breadth and everything that he did is that, he had over 40 years career here in San Diego in the public and private sector, but mostly public, doing a lot of important work for housing rights, educational rights, farm workers, healthcare, housing, so many different things. He had his hand in many different pots. He actually worked with either as an employee, a director, or a volunteer, with more than 40 different organizations and agencies or projects here in San Diego, more than 40 over those 40 years. And some might think, oh, was he doing something just to enhance his resume? No. All of those 40, you know, commitments or, you know, roles that he played were actually deep commitments. He was involved. He was not just there sitting at the table with his mouth shut. He was involved making, helping to make good decisions, make good plans to, you know, enhance the program or the activity in any way that he could. And, you know, so his involvement was deep. It wasn't just shallow and it wasn't just, you know, superficial for his own glory. He was doing it. And so it represents like months and, you know, years of work with all of those 40 organizations, whether he was on the board of directors, a service committee, or, you know, again, doing his PR work, you know, with some of those healthcare organizations that he worked with. He was there. And actually, I think Roberto captured some of that with all the people and logos that he captured on the mural. I mean, they don't represent everyone that he knew and was involved with, but, you know, it gives an idea of the impact that he had with everyone. And yeah.
If I can say, just with Project New Village, yes, he was a board member, but much more than that. He as a person didn't just sit at the table or be the person at the podium. He was the person that was making sure there was enough bathrooms for everybody, mm-hmm. that everybody had a lunch, yeah. that there was water and things for people. So yeah. he didn't worry about whatever the big issue was. He was going to get people to the table, and he was going to get the other organizations to work together. Yeah. But it's also the dignity and the comfort of the people that he was targeting to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So just good yeah. guy.
With everything that we're hearing about Daniel, the work that he did, all the organizations that he supported, in what ways can we honor Daniel's legacy?
Yes. The way we can honor Daniel's legacy is getting familiar with a nonprofit that just got started. It's led by his wife, Leticia, and his their board members. IEActivism.org. And the way it's spelled is A-Y-I, and that means do something in Nahuatl. And activism.org, activism with heart. And the word heart is ayol, and it's also a Nahuatl term. And it has, this organization has three initiatives. One is the legacy of Danny and his, and what he did and what he continues to do with it, with what we're doing today. And Leticia can elaborate more on these. I'll just briefly. Second one is a scholarship under his name that goes up every year. And we already have some funding for this year's to give to students. I'm honored to have been awarded the Comunidad Award by Los Padres, and I selected the charitable organization IE to receive the $5,000. And that's sort of, again, this is kind of what happens. And the third one is being a supporter of San Diego State Mecha and their initiatives as an initiative to support them through alumni and through leadership examples, because that we feel that that continues to bring in leadership. And there's much more to learn about it. If you go to ieactivism.org, it's very clear all of this, and you'll get a lot more information there. You'll also get links to the videos we talked about earlier and how you can be a part of and be an associate organization. You can be a member. You can find out how you can support this and learn more.
And just to make sure I have it right, when you say ieactivism.org, you spell that A-Y-I, then the common spelling of activism.
Correct.
.org.
And
okay.
A-Y-I means do something.
I love that. In Mawat, right?
In Nahuatl.
So, Ms. Moss, how do you think that we need to honor Daniel Hernandez's legacy?
Do what he said do, to get involved and pay attention to this new nonprofit and learn more about his legacy and do something.
As you guys are talking, the word tenacity, you know, pops up, and that's often a word that would describe Daniel. A few other things that Daniel himself said that were important. Be genuine. Find what it is that you need to contribute. And don't worry about the ego. The example of your completed work is where the credit lies. Mm-hmm. And so as we think about some of those ideas, I would like to ask our final two guests, how do we honor Daniel Hernandez's legacy?
You know, we need to build coalitions, as he said himself too. And we need to work together and get involved, you know, and not lose hope, you know, that, because even one person, like, and he was the example, one person could work with so many different types of people and so many different places. And one person could be that unifying force and that spark, you know, to get, to make the change and create the change that we want. And again, the community defines what that change is, you know, what is needed. But, you know, by working together, getting involved, doing something about it, you can make it happen.
I think we should honor Danny. We should live with a purpose, live with a passion, find out what that is and do it. Mm-hmm. And I think he would be very proud of us.
Wow, if that's not a way to wrap things up, I don't know what is, but what I can say is that I very much appreciate all of you coming here to share these beautiful pieces of Daniel Hernandez, somebody who gave so much of himself and was appreciated by so much of the community for how much he sacrificed of himself for us, right? So I hope that this podcast and the stories that we've told has done his legacy justice. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and we can't wait to see you next time. Bye-bye, y'all. Wow. Not saying that we were ever going to be able to outdo the first podcast, but that was a pretty amazing podcast. One of the things that stuck out to me was the breadth of work that Daniel Hernandez had under his belt, the amount of organizations and people that he helped. Ms. Moss, should we give an honorable mention to some of the organizations who are most closely connected to Daniel Hernandez's legacy?
So I don't know most closest, but I can say when I look at the flyer and I'm looking right at it, I see Project New Village because that's what I'm the first thing I'm going to go to, right? But I like to be in the company of Casa Familiar and Barrio Station, right?
Yes.
Looking at the MAC project, the work he did over with San Ysidro Health Center, La Maestra before that. I think I actually met him when he was working at a television station. So he had a breadth of experience in terms of community engagement, community relationships. Lovely interview today.
Thank you for joining us. Catch us next time.